years ago. So there ain't no fake except the one you make. And there ain't no hell except the shit you take every day. So don't tell me life doesn't hurt. And that you don't need the people, cause you've got your church. You gotta take your head out of the sky, because there ain't nothing there but the satellites.
Ho, ho, ho. And we are the Nonprofits. I'm Dennis Lube, and along with Jeff D., Russell Glasser, and Ben Weaver, our chief elf, we're coming to you live from an undisclosed location in Austin, Texas, on the 17th of December, 2014. The show is sponsored by the Atheist Community of Austin, a nonprofit educational organization for the promotion of positive atheism and the separation of church and state. If you want to learn more about the ACA, you can visit their website at www.atheist-community.org or call their voicemail at 512-220-6561. The Nonprofits broadcast live every first and third Wednesday of each month from 7 to 8:30 Central Time. You can join the Nonprofits chat room by following the directions at www.nonprofitsradio.com. So sit back, enjoy the show, and be prepared for reindeer games.
Thank you, Dennis.
Ho, ho, ho.
It was a very... Was that a naughty opening, or was that a nice opening?
Well, it depends if Santa sells his comprehensive list of naughty and nice to God.
Jeff,
so that
all Dennis's openings are nice openings.
Okay.
But yeah, Santa is sort of like God's CIA. He amasses the list.
I see. Yes, he surveils upon you to determine if you're sleeping and
right
that
knows if you are sleeping.
Right.
So, I have a complaint about the last episode.
You weren't here.
Yes.
So
Naomi Marmel did such a good job filling in for me. I felt really unnecessary.
Uh huh. So what are you doing here? You could have called her.
Thanks for the support.
Keep talking, dude.
I will happily play along with your little faux self-deprecation thing you have going.
I listened to a little bit of it live while I was sitting in the Houston airport being miserable.
Yeah. Did you hear us live talking about you being in the Houston airport being miserable? Because I think it got mentioned at one point.
I think I didn't listen to it long enough. I wound up hearing that later and then being thrown right back into the mindset of being stuck in the Houston airport.
But you did listen long enough to establish in your mind Naomi is better than you.
Yes. Yes, I did.
Yes, damn you.
All right. Well, sorry to hear that.
Now, last week I was speaking live before an audience of 80 at the Secular Student Alliance at St. Charles Community College in Missouri. And they are just a lovely, wonderful group of people.
Right.
And that talk is now up on my YouTube channel, so you can hunt it down on my Twitter or Facebook page if you can't find it. It's called Embrace Your Inner Skeptic, and it was tons of fun to give.
Cool.
Cool. Do you have questions from the audience?
Yeah, I did. I got 1 hour of talking and 1 hour of answering questions.
Wow.
Got some Christians, got a New Ager kind of person. Mostly got a lot of questions from atheists who don't live in a place where there are big atheist groups. That was fun. And I it seems like I will be going back to Missouri in April for another possibly bigger event with a bunch of other people.
Cool.
We're proud of you, man.
Thanks.
And nobody raised their hand and said, "Where's Naomi?" Right?
No, they all did. That was the beginning of every single question. It was like, you know, since Naomi's not here.
Well, since those guys were so great to you, what are we doing wasting our time with our lousy listeners?
Stop it.
We got more than 800 listeners. At least judging by our Facebook likes, we got way more than 800. Don't we? Mm. I think.
800?
Yeah.
Strangely, all those likes on our Facebook page are in India.
We're up into a few thousand. Facebook that's likes. Cool. That's an odd I saw cool. last time I looked. I haven't got it right in front of me.
I got a quick announcement that's unrelated to that, but it's an ACA event. Upcoming in February, there's going to be an event, the Texas Secular Convention, which I believe coincides with Darwin Day. Does February 27th through March 1st strike you as the right time frame for that?
I don't know.
You don't know.
I'm not certain.
Okay. Well, ACA is co-sponsoring the Texas Secular Convention, which is going to start with a rally at the Capitol. There's going to be a convention at the Sheraton near the Capitol. We're going to have Greta Christina, Annie Laurie Gaylor, Barry Lynn, Jamila Bey, and I'm pretty sure you can still register. So
cool.
Check that out.
And how do people do that registering?
I don't know.
Do you know?
Okay. Google it.
It's called Texas Secular Convention.
Yes, Texas Secular Convention.
Well, there's a generic
late
title.
Google that.
Yeah.
Well, since Dennis started us off with such a nice, cheerful holiday theme, why don't we just do some Christmassy stuff for a while?
Sounds all good.
Right, until we run out. And I'm going to start.
Okay.
Not holiday stuff, but Christmassy stuff, huh?
I don't. Let's not lie to ourselves.
We're not engaging in the war. You got to pick sides.
It is, in fact, all of those things. But I'm not fighting that right now.
Okay. Go ahead.
I got a letter here from Jeremiah. We are in general agreement that Christmas can be enjoyed by anyone.
Christians can too, I suppose.
Not just Christians. It appears to me, from cries of keep Christ in Christmas and insisting on the real reason for the season, Christians feel that a key part of their holiday is being thrown away and that non-Christians are hijacking their culture. From their perspective, it almost appears like cultural misappropriation where they are the victim. Would this be a good way to demonstrate to the religious right how misappropriation works when you're on the receiving end?
Yes, it would.
Or usually my answer to any question that begins, would this be a good way to demonstrate something to the religious right, is no.
Well, yeah, it won't
can't
work.
Demonstrate
but...
nothing to nobody.
They're not interested.
Right. They're not interested.
Nevertheless, when you talk to one of those people, when you must, right, you try to do what would constitute a good job.
Yes, yes.
If they would open their frickin' ears.
A normal human being, yes.
So, I'm going with Dennis's answer.
All right.
We're arguing, yes,
it would be a good way to do that.
We're not arguing with the Christians. We're arguing to the audience.
Yes.
Yes, just with the understanding that the word good does not mean effective necessarily.
Yes.
Right? Nothing's very effective, but, you know, you try to do a job that would be effective if they were receptive, and it's not your fault if they're not.
If anyone stumbles
as
across
long
the...
As you're doing a job that is, you know, properly formulated.
If anyone stumbles across the magic bullet argument that makes all Christians suddenly question their faith, please let us know.
And, you know, this is the time of year when people go around saying that there are these massive parallels between Jesus and Mithra or Horus or whatever.
Right.
It's kind of bullshit. I mean, there are parallels you can stretch, but, you know, but yes, Christmas was appropriated from older pagan holidays and only retrofitted to be more Jesus-y later. Right. So
yeah,
that's perfectly legit.
Jeremiah's email goes on to mention those things.
Okay, I'm sorry to step on
it. Having brought up the question of misappropriation, he goes on to say, yeah, I know that they already misappropriated stuff. That's not the point he's making.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The biggest attempt at misappropriation, though, lately has been what's his name's movie about trying to equate commercialized Christmas with real, like, religious Christmas.
Oh, you mean the worst movie on Rotten Tomatoes ever?
The worst movie on Rotten Tomatoes ever. Carl, what's his name? You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Who made this movie?
Huh?
What's his name?
Wasn't it the banana guy? I mean,
no.
No?
What are you talking about?
Who? The guy that did the movie, which is now the worst rated movie on Rotten Tomatoes ever.
Kirk Cameron.
Kirk Cameron. Yeah. His attempt to take all the commercialized stuff that is how Christmas is handled now by most people, and to spin that into being somehow tied into Christianity, that's amazing. That's like we took something over. And then people were more interested in other parts of it than the part that we inserted. So we're just going to claim that those other things that are – those leftover stuff is also ours.
Is ours too. Yep.
Yeah,
it's the – it's rated as the – it's got the worst rating of Rotten that Rotten Tomato has.
2% or something?
And the one above it, the movie above it, is Birdemic. And I've seen it. And
have you seen the Riff Tracks live performance of Birdemic?
Yes, awesome.
Yeah, but that's okay. Let's be fair to Kirk Cameron, whose name I've now remembered. How much of that rating on Rotten Tomatoes is due to people just taking the opportunity to lash out at it?
Oh yeah,
out at that annoying prick.
Well,
part of Rotten Tomatoes is basically one giant internet poll, and you know how trustworthy they are.
Sure, but of course he tried to counteract that by telling Christians to go in and rate it up.
Did he?
Yes, he did.
And they wouldn't do it.
Well, not enough.
Okay. The whole misappropriation thing is, I think, this might be a theme during today's show because it kind of ties into, if you recall, last episode we did a bit on a Sikh guy in Canada on the Mounties. Mm-hmm. And you might not remember this, Russell, because you weren't on that show.
I listened to it.
Bits of it.
A little bit of it.
No, I listened to all
only
of
until
it
you
afterwards.
Couldn't take it anymore because...
Because the internet connection in the airport was not that great.
It kind of ties into the whole question of, you know, whose culture is this anyway? And at what what point is it one religion imposing their will against another one? And at what point is it just sort of some other nebulous generic culture thing that may have been influenced by those religions but is a thing on its own? And we'll get to that when we get to that story. Anyway, thank you, Jeremiah, for your question about misappropriating Christmas. Russell?
Yeah. Do you guys, just quick survey of the room, do you guys care much for Christmas or not?
I enjoy it.
Yeah, me too.
And the secularness version of it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not a fan. I mean, listeners will... know that I do, you know, I mention every year at having been raised a secular Jew.
Yeah.
I don't care about it.
You got that. You got that awesome Hanukkah thing going on.
Oh, yeah. Hanukkah. That's not a thing to give a shit about either, really, for anyone.
All right.
Let's see.
Kwanzaa? No.
I mean, you know, I like aspects of the holiday. I like trading gifts and some people throw some great parties.
Oh yeah.
And I actually really like the holiday themed lattes because I'm a middle-aged woman.
Right.
What other part of it are you thinking that I'm talking about besides the things you've just listed?
The three solid months of fucking songs.
Oh, yeah,
and,
no. Yes. No, that's annoying. Nobody,
decorations.
Nobody likes
shit.
That.
Yeah.
Okay. Nobody likes that.
Yeah, I don't need that.
Jingle bells. No.
Right. I don't need, like, candy cane decorations everywhere.
Have a holly jolly Christmas.
Oh, God. I don't particularly Shutter. Need hipstery heavy metal versions
right,
of Christmas
right.
songs.
Yeah.
Anyway, but I mean, people who like Christmas, do what you want.
Right.
That's what I always say. Because I'm not like some people like Tom Flynn who are like, You know, you're not a true atheist if you give aid and comfort to the Christian holiday.
Oh, boy.
Like, if you enjoy it, do it.
What about all these television shows crowbarring Christmas episodes into their...
If, like me, you listen...
Continuity.
If, like me, you listen to the Subgenius Hour of Slack, they always have, a Christmas special where they play a lot of... like filked Christmas songs and mutated Christmas songs.
Yeah.
That are a welcome relief from the monotony of the traditional stuff.
Yes.
Right.
Was that a beginning of a news story?
No, I mean, not really. Although I do have a couple of Christmassy news stories that I would like to read briefly back to back because neither one of them is that interesting on their own.
All right, go for it.
Here in Austin, we have a local interest story because for the first time, a nativity scene's going up inside the Texas Capitol Rotunda.
Oh, joy.
For the first time, like, ever in the history of
that
the
seems
world.
To be what KVU ABC is implying here.
Uh-huh.
The Texas Nativity Scene Project, that's all, you know, that is like a title, so probably some fundy group setting it up.
Yep.
Put up the nativity scene inside the basement of the rotunda on Sunday night. It will be unveiled to the public at 11 a.m. Monday.
Basement of the rotunda? Really?
Yeah, I guess.
I'm imagining this dark room with a bare light bulb. A little
wooden,
chain.
Dusty wooden rafters.
Yeah.
No.
Cardboard box you have to stand on to reach the cord for the bulb.
And
dripping
just,
water.
Just to make sure you don't mix him up with the God-hating Happy
smell.
Holidays crowd.
Yeah.
Spokesperson Trey Trainer said, it's just to bring the joy and the hope of the birth of Christ to everyone and to use the public square as a place to do that.
So, to use my taxpayer money to do that.
It's just to use the public square to do a sectarian thing.
Yes. Although the nativity scene is privately funded and the state has not contributed any money to the display or endorsed it, they've just given a bunch of space to
fine.
It.
Where's
remember,
in a public building.
I got to say, Austin Satanists have fallen down on the job.
Yeah, they
yeah,
have.
Yeah, now, where are you guys?
Where's the 8-foot-tall,
goat-headed
tinseled,
god? Come on.
Tinseled and streamered statue of Satan.
Yeah. Remember, all you other religions, second class.
Mm-hmm. The thing, if you put on some kind of mechanical device, so it would lunge out of you, out at you from the darkness of that basement. That
go.
Could be very effective.
With a big scream.
Meanwhile, here's a story that got big enough for Time to cover. Time.com. Mm-hmm. Anti-Christmas billboards have cropped up in 5 cities across the U.S. as part of an atheist association's outreach campaign to End the Closet Atheists.
Uh-huh.
Dear Santa, reads the text on a roadside billboard in Springdale, Arkansas, all I want for Christmas is to skip church. It's one of several billboards sponsored by American Atheists, an organization that aims to relieve atheists from social pressure to observe religious holidays.
Uh-huh.
Hmm.
Today's adults have no obligation to pretend to believe the lies their parents believed, said American Atheist President David Silverman in a public statement. Never a guy to mince words.
Yep.
The group has sponsored similar billboards in Memphis, Nashville, St. Louis, and Fort Smith. I got corrected on that while I was in Missouri. and Fort Smith, Arkansas. Though the group says billboard lessors, people who lease billboards in Jackson, Mississippi, denied multiple requests for ad space.
Of course.
Yeah. All right.
Well,
so
their slogan doesn't click with me, but hey, what the heck?
Yeah, I mean,
can't all be a winner with everyone.
I'm going to wish for stuff. Like, I already don't skip church. Skip church all the time. So I don't need to wish for that.
Yeah.
Anyway, there you go. There's your yearly dose of both sides of the war on Christmas.
Yep. So,
righty.
In Texas, all of the religions other than Christianity are second class.
And I suppose since neither Matt nor Beth is involved in this show, I should give equal time to them and go not all atheists hate Christmas. And you guys don't, so
Yeah, we already gave more than equal time to our side of that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the whole the Christmas thing doesn't mean anything to me religiously, obviously.
Mm-hmm. Right, right.
Doesn't mean anything to me as far as time off, because as a self-employed person, I'm going to be working straight through.
Right, me too.
Means a little bit family-wise, because I have relatives who are going to be more interested in interaction during that chunk of the year, which is part of why I have such a blah reaction to it is that you would think people that really wanted to hear from you would want to hear from you all the time and not feel like there was a special time when
they
that
have
has
more
to
time off during the holidays.
I suppose that's
to
true.
Go and see you.
I suppose that's true.
So
everybody's got their evenings off.
Yeah,
maybe the vast majority of people. So for me, it's just I guess my business does slow down a little bit because everybody else becomes a little bit, you know, people I might do
everybody's
business with
extra busy.
Are extra busy, so there's less to do. I don't care about I don't care for the weather. What happens in Texas? It gets cold.
Well, that would happen regardless of what we were observing at that point.
That's right.
True.
I'm just talking, we are observing talking the about tilt the season. Of the Earth's axis. So. Mm-hmm.
But I also can't get excited about any of these alternate things that you might be doing during that time. Solstices don't interest me particularly. I mean, it's all going to be arbitrary, made up, you know, latching on to something, and that's your excuse to have, you know, relaxation and parties and special foods and things.
Man.
And so I'm generically okay with made up excuses for doing all of that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't especially think that Christmas is a great one, and I don't especially think solstices or any of those other things, alternate things, are any better or worse.
Sure.
Well, at least the solstice is not fictional.
Oh yeah. But I don't have a problem with fiction as long as you remember that's what it is.
Right, right.
So, okay. Since this is the giving time of the year, according to some people, they like to make this be an excuse to give stuff away. Michael, I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right, from Germany, wrote, "The nonprofits has given me months and months of entertainment and something to think about. It's thanks to you I managed to make that final step in becoming an atheist rather than fence-sitting saying I'm okay with the idea of God, I just don't like church as an institution, which I now realize was just an excuse of and being afraid of admitting the truth, that I don't believe any of this nonsense, and it doesn't matter what family and other people think about it. Turns out there are a lot of other atheists around me, especially here in Germany. I know you accept donations through the Atheist Community of Austin, but I'd prefer to donate directly for the nonprofits show." So we responded to Michael, and it's none of your business how that turned out. But he was interested in finding out a way to donate directly to our show. And there is not currently a way to do that as far as I'm aware, right? There's like a web form on the ACA website where you can donate to the organization. And I as far as I know, there's not even a little like, you know, note section where you can type in some words describing how you'd like it made. Could they maybe use the voicemail if they wanted to contact somebody from the board and donate to the nonprofits, Russell?
I don't know.
You don't know.
Sorry.
Well, I mean, anybody that wants to make a donation.
There is a donate page
on
the Atheist Community of Austin website.
Yes, and you weren't paying attention.
I was reading your
internets.
I was looking for the next news story.
And the thing is, this Michael in Germany wanted to donate specifically, have his donation flagged for our show.
You can leave a note.
You can?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Okay. Why don't you double check that between looking for your news stories? Anyway, so we want to thank Michael for his support. And yes, it's theoretically possible to donate money to help out our show.
Theoretically.
We have small, we don't have big budgetary needs, but there are some occasional equipment needs and stuff.
You know, let us know that you're donating for the nonprofits, and I will. And then Ben, who is our engineer and sometimes purchases things, will nag me to make sure that the ACA compensates him specifically for those things.
You're suggesting they make a donation on the donation page on the ACA atheist-community.org website.
Yeah, drop us a message, a message to
Drop a message, you mean send an email to nonprofits at
atheist-community.org. And also a board for the board of directors.
Board at atheist-community.org to let folks know how we'd like your donation used. And thank you very much.
Yeah, because, I mean, you know, we don't really have a formal system for the way the budget works, but the people on the board of directors and the treasurer are all upstanding
citizens. We need to make this easier with big red buttons and
stuff.
Yeah,
maybe.
Yeah.
This is, for like a year, we've been talking about revamping our website with all the stuff we really need.
Yeah. Well, that's maybe a place where money could be spent.
Revamping the website.
Revamping the website, which is kind of our public face to the world.
Right.
Okay. And Russell.
Okay. Now that I've gone ultra local with the Austin Rotunda display, there was an important international event in Sydney, Australia. There was a siege that ended with a gunman and two captives dead after police stormed a cafe. This was December 15th, a couple days ago.
Right.
Heavily armed police officers, as reported by the New York Times, ended a hostage siege in Sydney early Tuesday, storming a downtown cafe where an armed man had held employees and customers for more than 16 hours. The captor and the two hostages died during the confrontation, and four other people were wounded, according to the New South Wales police. Live television images of the scene showed intense flashes of gunfire and loud concussions. This is of interest to us who are generally interested in religious news because... Oh, where'd that go? I have a separate news story. But, I mean, this guy was an Islamic fundamentalist.
And I imagine this caused a shitstorm of unimaginable proportions.
Oh, yeah. I mean, various kinds. And, of course...
everybody dragged out their broad brushes?
I'm sure they did. I don't have a broad brush story in particular. I'm gonna read just this detail from the Daily Telegraph. Not as an example. Wait, am I? it's kind of hard to scroll through stories on this particular device. Police have identified the man as 50-year-old Haran Monis, an Iranian who received political asylum in Australia in 1996. He was a self-styled Muslim cleric, but had been rejected by both Sunni and Shia members of the Sydney Muslim community, according to Kesar Trud, founder of the Islamic Friendship Association of Australia. This man is damaged goods. He came across as someone with a serious mental illness, Mr. Trud told ABC on Tuesday. Bit of a loner, blah, 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 blah. You know, the usual stuff. Yeah. And just in case anybody's unclear, yeah, I absolutely do think that that the tenets of Islam, when taken way too seriously, do have a direct causal correlation with violent behavior. And of course, anytime something like this comes up, people will go way too far in either direction.
Right.
One side saying that there's absolutely no connection between those things whatsoever, which there is, and the other saying, well, this just goes to show that all Muslims are fundamentally violent and should be shunned from society.
Right.
Which is also not the case.
Right.
So there's this guy from the Muslim organization characterized the shooter as being mentally ill.
Yeah, which
but
is also
there,
kind
is
of, yeah.
there any actual anything in the news about him actually being diagnosed with mental illness?
If there is, I am not seeing it at this point.
Okay.
And I would also say that when a shooting like this happens due to ideology, which it does.
Yep.
A lot of times people who jump to blame it on some undefined mental illness
mm-hmm.
do a terrible disservice against people who have actual mental
right.
disorders but are not violent.
Right. But of course, being mentally ill is not necessarily helpful in a lot of adults are able to wallow in kind of extreme, crazy religious crap and never actually pull stunts like this.
Yeah,
right.
So there is some ability that some grown-ups have to immerse themselves in that kind of thinking but not act on it. And that's certainly less likely if you're actually mentally ill.
Right.
Yeah.
There is a combination of factors that will lead to
sure.
To this kind of event, and I think it certainly doesn't serve us to minimize the ideology
right.
as a driving force which can catalyze people who might already be prone to commit acts of violence to have a good excuse for it.
Right.
Right.
Or who might not be prone to it, but can be whipped into a frenzy by
yeah, sure.
Being encouraged to
so,
immerse themselves
so like
in that kind of stuff.
To bring this back to something that happened earlier this year where I think a college student went up and shot up a bunch of people and had a manifesto
uh-huh.
that said how angry he was at women in general and
right.
and not getting dates. And similarly... some people rushed to say, oh, yeah, it was just mental illness. That explains everything. Certainly pay no attention to that anti-woman screed.
Right. No.
No.
Do you have
ideology leads to actions.
It counts.
Speaking of Muslims acting badly, do you
yes.
have the ISIS school shooting incident story with you today,
oh,
which
gosh,
is all over the news right
I
now?
I did have that. It's just I have too
Does
many tabs
right
now. Does
that have a religious
right
angle other than...
Yeah,
other than that it's perpetrated by fundamentalist
well,
religious organization?
Well, but for a reason, right? Didn't they have a stated reason why they were doing this?
I don't know. Let's find out. I got the story from
okay.
BBC. The Pakistani city of Peshawar is burying its dead after
yeah.
a Taliban attack at a school killed at least 132 children and nine staff. It's really serious.
Good God.
New images from the school show the brutality of the attack with pools of blood on the ground and walls covered in pockmarks from hundreds of bullets. Mass funerals and prayer vigils for the victims are currently underway. Gunmen had walked from class to class, shooting
Jesus.
Students in Pakistani Taliban's deadliest attack to date. Prime Minister Nawaz Sharif declared 3 days of mourning over the massacre, which has sparked national outrage. He also announced an end to the moratorium on the death penalty for terrorism cases, which correspondents say is a move aimed at countering a view held by many Pakistanis that many terror suspects end up evading justice. World leaders have also voiced disgust at the attack, which even the Afghan Taliban have criticized. Of course
okay.
they would.
And stated reason?
Dennis, what was your impression? You obviously had
I thought it was
a
retaliation for something that happened somewhere else.
Those 132 kids just really, they went and TP'd their houses.
Oh, no.
So they had
yeah.
to.
Ha.
Too soon?
Oh, yeah.
No,
I'm
I
just
mean,
saying
you know.
The idea of retaliating by killing a bunch of people that had nothing to do with it.
Yeah.
Oh, I know. It's,
no, no.
It's
I'm not, I know you're not saying it's sane. Are you suggesting that it's not religion motivated?
Yeah. I'm suggesting somebody did something to their organization and they're retaliating for that.
Yeah.
But I could be wrong. I did not read closely, so. But I was hearing something to that effect.
Once again, we're on this subject of is that a cultural impulse to you know kill a bunch of people that had nothing to do with it is because you've got a revenge yeah. culture, or is there something about the religion, the nature of the religion that fed into and helped create that revenge culture in the first place?
It's both. It's a combination of yeah. factors. I mean, yeah. very, very much like, you know, in the majority, you know, among most people in this country.
It's a chicken or the egg thing.
People who are sincere Christians also are not terrorists, but then you have the ones that go and blow up abortion clinics.
Right.
Right.
And you have the ones that... let's see, Tim McVeigh, the World Trade Center, or I mean, Oklahoma City.
Yeah, Oklahoma City bombing.
Excuse me,
yeah,
sorry.
Yeah. The Oklahoma City Trade Center.
Yes. Christian fundamentalist.
Yeah.
And the right combination of ignorance and ideology and, you know, seeing yourself as some kind of savior.
Right. Yeah, I read
super dangerous.
Yeah, I read one brief article on this shooting where they were basically saying, "Okay, Taliban, you win. You are the most evil organization ever. You win yeah. hands down, no problem. Everyone agrees.
Congratulations.
You can stop now."
Yeah. All right. So you may recall that last episode, except for Russell, who wasn't here.
I listened to the episode.
We did a story on a Sikh, a gentleman, I believe, wanted to be in the Canadian Mounties, I believe.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah,
and
you guys talked about that a long time.
Yes,
yeah,
we did. Yes, we did. And specifically, the issue we got where Naomi and I did not see eye to eye. Is she thought it was obvious that and I'm paraphrasing here, and I apologize, and of course will correct myself if Naomi tells me I'm full of it. The impression I got was that in her view, since the society that decided on the look of the Mounties uniforms was nominally Christian, that therefore when Sikh asks for the outfit to be changed on their behalf because of their different religion, you gotta let them, because otherwise you're letting Christianity dominate over Islam.
Right.
I think I'm in the Naomi chair today, so I think I'm gonna have okay. to say you're oversimplifying.
You're gonna try to be as awesome as Naomi is.
Yeah, but of course I never will. But I feel like you're oversimplifying that a little bit.
I'm sure I'm simplifying it somewhat because I'm paraphrasing.
I think maybe what Naomi was trying to say there was that we should acknowledge that this kind of dress code, which is largely arbitrary,
right.
Involves a certain amount of privilege. Where if you're one of the people who fits within the cultural norm of, you know, having these dress codes mesh with your opinions, like if there right. was a culture where the uniform was going pantsless, there would be an equal uncomfortable pressure on let's say Westerners in that hypothetical place, where that uniform is okay, but it excludes a bunch of people who culturally don't right. fit in with that.
Say there was something like kilt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What is worn under a kilt, Dennis? Why nothing? Everything is in perfectly good working order.
Shoes.
okay, but we were on the subject of religion, of religious freedom, and not on the subject of cultural
privilege,
which certainly there's crossover between those
right,
things.
There's religious effects on the culture.
I don't know. I don't see how that can be resolved without just dispensing with the notion of a uniform.
Yeah, and I see your point too. Absolutely.
Well, I'm not.
That line somewhere.
I hate to be the guy who's arguing for, you know, goose stepping, lockstep
right,
standards for
conformity.
Things.
Conformity.
But there is a reason why those things are called uniforms.
Right.
And the reason is not actually to drive everybody who wears them into the same little box. The reason for a uniform is to communicate to the people who encounter those uniformed people who they are.
Right.
Yeah,
and so as soon as you start fiddling with that,
what authority they have.
As soon as you start fiddling with that, you start whittling away at the ability to, you know, like, there's a reason why cops are required to yell, you know, police.
Right.
When they're about to do certain things, right? Because there's a responsibility to the public to make sure they know who they're dealing with.
Yeah, and you know, here the police wear those special blue uniforms so
right.
that you know they are authorized representatives of the government, and they have badges they have to show.
Yeah.
And impersonating a police officer is a very particularly
yes.
defined crime. And you could say that that's kind of arbitrary, but you can't really have, like, non-policemen going around saying, hey, I need to commandeer your car.
Right.
Or whatever.
Yeah. I mean, I could wear a clown suit and say, well, yes, I'm impersonating a police officer. I'm impersonating a police officer who is part of a religion that insists that I wear this clown suit all the time.
Right. Yeah.
Why don't you arrest me?
That's, of course, me jumping. That's on a slippery slope. That's
right.
Like a cliff. I just jumped off that cliff to make a point, I realize.
That's a really good point, I thought.
So this whole thing, it seems to me that to resolve a question like this, you really have to look at the actual specifics, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if the idea is that there is a religious freedom issue going on because the Mounties' standard uniforms are Christian uniforms, and what the Sikh guy wants to do is a Muslim variation, then there is a real religious freedom issue that you don't enshrine one religion in
right.
that special place where then others have to go along with it. That would be a real thing. But then you got to ask, what is it about the Mountie outfit that is Christian? And we got some emails about this.
Mm-hmm.
I think I should read the emails before I go on any further. And I got emails from both sides of this discussion.
The problem I see, though, is if he puts a turban on, that means the hat is going to be that much bigger.
Yeah.
Perhaps they could design a special Mounties turban that is equally recognizable.
With a big brim.
You know, if you see somebody wearing this or that, they're a Mountie.
Regarding the case of the Sikh that wishes to join the military but is prevented from doing so because he cannot meet the dress code, this is from Stephen in Vancouver, British Columbia. And so it's from the area. Military and police dress codes, including grooming, also have practical reasons behind them. The bona fide reason for keeping your hair short is so that you can put on a helmet. The bona fide reason for having to shave your beard is so you can get an airtight seal when you put on a gas mask.
Right.
I think these kinds of things came up last episode.
Yeah, we brought that up.
If I'm in a foxhole and a Sikh is my fire team partner and he's not wearing a helmet nor able to put on his gas mask properly, he is more of a liability for us and seriously hampers our ability to win the battle. Okay, so this is the side of the issue where, hey, it doesn't matter what their religious preferences are. There are practical concerns,
right?
And I personally tend to be on the side of practical
concerns
have to trump religious dictates,
right?
Or else the person with the religious dictates is welcome not to participate.
I'm sorry, did anybody here just say Sikhs are Muslims? Because they're not.
Oh, right, they're not.
I'm sorry.
Chat room caught
caught you.
What is the correct? Is it just a completely different thing?
Sikhs are like Hindu, aren't they?
Hindu. Okay, sorry. I stand corrected.
Yeah.
Hindus. So that's a point, right? But it doesn't really touch on the religious liberty.
Right, it's pure practicality.
Anybody think there's something wrong with not letting religious rules trump practical considerations?
Well, you have to judge what are the practical considerations of not being able to wear a turban as a Mountie.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, I'm not all that convinced that this particular helmet issue is so critical.
It's not like their hats or armor.
It can't be bent.
Yeah, and I agree. I think his point is valid, but we could sit here and quibble forever about the specifics.
Sure. Like yes, that's what we're best at.
How big a deal?
Yes.
You're on to us, Russell.
Let me shave this a little closer.
Yeah. All right. Next letter. Kitty from Perth, Australia writes, recently you discussed religious people in the military and police force and whether uniform exceptions should be made for them. This issue was dealt with in Victoria, Australia recently when a Muslim woman, and she did write Muslim, we're not talking Hindu now. Uh-huh. Joined the Victoria Police Force, she was given a specially made hijab in uniform colors with a quick release.
Hey, that was my idea.
With a quick release in case of a scuffle. I don't see anything.
Okay.
My first question would be, did you get a promise from the Muslim woman that in the case of a scuffle, she would actually use the quick release and become able to fight to do her job as a police person?
Hijab ejector seat?
Wow.
Boing.
Hijab.
If there's some kind of a barrel arrangement, she could maybe launch herself directly at the suspect out of her hijab. Kitty says, I don't see anything wrong with these kinds of uniform modifications since she is clearly still identifiable as a police officer and it doesn't really affect anyone else if she wears it. She sent a link to a picture and I went and looked at that picture and I think in general she is correct. It's actually, if the pictures I was looking at were the right ones, it's really, it looked to me just like a policewoman's uniform with kind of a hood.
Right.
Around the close fitting hood around the head. And that was about it. Which made me doubt that I was looking at the right thing because I don't see what the quick release would be for.
Do we want a police force with hoods on their heads?
Well, it's like a pajama hood kind of thing. The face is completely open.
It's not
a burqa.
Okay.
Not a burqa.
Oh, all right then. My bad.
So I'm kind of okay with that,
yeah,
but
that
again, my slippery slope, right?
Yeah.
The clown outfit, it just only will take the first religion to come along and have requirements that make it impossible to satisfy their religious requirements and still look like they're a member of the organization they want to join. So while certainly this kind of a stopgap measure can be effective, I'm worried that when organizations do stuff like this, they're just encouraging more and more extreme special requirements.
Yeah, and it'll get ridiculous. Like, okay, yes, you can have the big red nose, but no, you can't have the polka dotted outfit, but you can have the big floppy shoes.
The big red nose has got a quick release tab on it, Dennis, so in case of a scuffle.
There is a
You'll
good
be required to haul a ladder around everywhere you go.
There is a good reason why the term slippery slope fallacy exists.
Also, you could fit an extra large number of those kinds of police officers into your standard police car. Okay. So there is an advantage.
Yeah, okay. That's true. But yes, we are going reducto ad absurdum.
In reality, laws are made and enforced by people who actually wind up having to think about these edge cases.
Sure,
and I think,
if nothing else,
the fact that we have spent so much time in both of the last two shows arguing about whether this particular case is okay indicates that this is quite obviously one of the gray areas. Whereas maybe if the clown suit policeman came to court, they would just say, no, this is bullshit.
Because
courts do that sometimes.
They do, but they also need to – they have to operate in the environment that they're in, and that environment can be eroded by a series of small steps.
Yep.
You know, not every slippery slope is necessarily non-existent.
True.
And in the case of religion, it is a fact. Religions over time tend to – reach further and further and further if you accommodate them. We've got all kinds of examples of this.
We have documentation too. Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
I mean, good. Possibly. Good grief. First, you know, you let them have their particular holy day off, and the next thing you know, they're designing your Mounties uniforms.
Yep.
Right.
That's another slippery slope. The slippery slope slips both ways, man.
Yeah.
You give them an inch, they swim all over you.
Okay. And finally, from JP in Illinois.
Yeah.
Wanted to point out that Christian culture does have a dress code. Boobs, butts, and genitals should not be on display.
Yeah, that's
the
taboo
what I was saying earlier. Of women not... Yeah. Yes, you did touch on this. You did touch those boobs, butts, and genitals.
And, I mean, personally, I think a police force in, let's say, assless chaps would be very popular in some places.
Okay. But I want to...
Yeah, I was wondering, what does a naturist policeman wear?
But this is where I want to make sure that we're not overreacting on the other end, right? I mean... Is nudity a thing that Christianity is against?
I don't know. It certainly seems very prude, largely, you know, from our U.S. perspective. But.
I was raised in a Christian family,
mm-hmm.
and I will admit to having shyness about nudity.
Mm-hmm.
But I never once thought that if I was naked, I was being a bad Christian, and that was never suggested to me. It wasn't. There were no sermons about don't be naked.
Mm-hmm.
None of that.
Well, because you can't have the football shower room,
yeah,
without people being naked, and you can't have Christianity without football. So
football is in the Bible.
It is.
No, that's not.
Definitely.
So the thing I want to tease apart here is we have a culture, right? And in the culture we have a dominant religion. But does that automatically translate to everything about the culture is informed by that religion? It could be, right? Mm-hmm. I could be wrong. I'm just saying, from my experience, I don't see a connection between, like, there's the story in Genesis of Adam and Eve. They ate of the fruit of the tree of knowledge, and then they were ashamed of their nudity in front of God. On the one hand, you could say, well, you know, that just shows that you're not supposed to be naked, right?
Right.
Except that. They weren't supposed to eat the apple.
Right.
They were supposed to be naked.
The ideal condition was for them to be naked. So what's the deal?
A wise friend of mine pointed out that there are general statements about being modesty.
Ah, okay.
Which can be interpreted as having to do with nudity.
Right. Or it could simply be, refusal to accept compliments.
Yeah. I would need to see a much more careful examination of that particular issue to be convinced that that specifically refers to not showing your sexual
parts.
There's
the whole deal where, oh, if you see the person naked, it will incite lust. It will invite temptation.
Is that in the Bible?
All that stuff. I don't know.
I don't either.
Yeah, but religion, it does. No matter how much they say it comes from their holy book, you know, religions are influenced by the made-up stuff of people who came
after. Right, so just because you have Christians expressing a certain cultural standard and believing that it comes from their religion doesn't necessarily mean that it does.
Right.
And
they just made it up,
You know. So there's
examples of
it would be yet another thing that the religion tries to hijack in order to make itself important, which we see all the damn time.
Right.
So, we got another. Maybe it was one of these letters. Somebody sent me a link to pictures of like clay sculptures from Babylon or something with women with their naked boobies and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, just because there's a different culture that had a different religion where they showed different body parts does not – just still does not establish that the religion is the cause. So when we're talking about this turban in the Mounties issue, and when we're talking about it from a religious freedom angle, I really think you got to connect the dots and establish that the religion is the reason on both sides.
Right,
and I can very well be wrong about this, but I'm still not seeing it. Okay.
Yeah, being naked would sure make it easier to observe that no mixed fabric stricture.
Sure.
That's true.
Bum bum bum.
Just like
police,
are we done with that
we
email?
Know. Put your goddamn costumes back on. No, we want to come in and interrogate you naked.
No,
not you naked, us naked. All right, just our boobies then.
Well,
have you got a story? Please.
Well, you know, I feel like, unfortunately, there
hurry,
are a lot of
us.
We're spending so much time discussing things this week.
Yeah.
Are there we are a lot of topics we're just – there are a lot of news stories we're just not going to wind up getting to.
Okay, sorry.
But we
it's
always
me.
Have time to get to, you
talk
know.
Talk faster.
Shit!
Internet apologists say!
Of course, this episode is of important time significance, and so we needed something to fit with the theme. Of course, Franklin Graham isn't just an internet apologist. He's a goddamn real preacher who speaks in front of lots of people.
Sure.
But hey, Franklin Graham has something to say about the season this week. You can find this at billygraham.org.
Oh, boy.
The war on Christmas is a war on Christ.
Well, yeah, of course they would think that.
Millions of Christians around the world soon will be celebrating the birth of Christ. In many places, like ancient Bethlehem, where Jesus was born, commemorating the birth of the Savior is still the main focus. Unfortunately, the United States in the last few decades has witnessed increased hostility toward the sacred nature of Christmas, erupting into what has become a blatant war on Christmas. Well said. Good subtext right there. schools, stores, and communities across America continue to find new and intolerant reasons to remove any religious references to Christmas, stripping it of any holy or historical significance. Christian songs, prayers, and other spiritually vital connections to the Lord Jesus are deleted or diminished.
Uh-huh. I'm still waiting for him to say something I disagree with.
That's the thing. He's right. That's because at its root and core, the war on Christmas isn't really about Christmas at all. It's about the Son of God.
Oh, yeah, okay. Now he's full of shit.
The war on Christmas is a war on Christ and his followers.
No.
It's the hatred of our culture for the exclusive claims that Christ made, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. John 14:6.
They're just jealous. That's what he's saying.
Mm.
That is what they're saying.
You're just jealous because our guy said he's the only guy.
Our fanfic is better than yours.
Ooh.
I mean, like I always say about the War on Christmas, me, Russell, not Franklin Graham. It's not so much a war on Christmas as a war against anyone who would dare to acknowledge that there are other things going on at the same time of year. Because, you know, there's this out-and-out hostility on the part of the, you know, war on Christmas drumming up people that if somebody says happy holidays, you know, it's like, well, you're not getting my tip. I'm not shopping here anymore or whatever.
Right. Right. You didn't kowtow to my particular religious view.
Right.
Yeah.
And the reason,
you see, according to Franklin Graham,
mm-hmm.
the reason why people pretend to be upset about not having their individual views, they're not being free to express their own individual views, is because, of course, Jesus is the one and only Savior guy, and if you don't, and everybody knows this,
right?
Therefore, if you're not honoring him, you're doing it on purpose to attack him, and that's that pernicious bullshit about, you know, everybody
yes.
actually believes Christianity; they're just pretending if they say they don't.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and they call us arrogant. It's always fun.
Yeah. Now, this is a sermon, so there's a lot of stuff in here I can skip because
he's
dying to tell people the story of Christ because they'd never heard it before.
Yeah.
And fill it up with Bible verses.
You know, those kinds of things would be fun if he actually did add some new stuff.
Yeah. This year, I'm telling it with a twist.
Did you hear about the time, you probably haven't heard this, it's not in the Bible, a time that Jesus put like little razor blades in his sandals and the Romans came knocking at the door and Jesus went into this like martial arts frenzy. That'd be new and exciting.
Yeah,
that's right.
That would spice things up around the Christmas season.
Yeah, well, he didn't do any of that. He sat down and he told some parables.
Yeah, so he goes through a whole lot of Bible verse, and yeah. I'm sure he's catching up on the thread here. We should not be taken aback, then, when a day that should be devoted to meditating upon the marvelous virgin birth of the Lord Jesus Christ is instead treated in a scandalously secular way that denies his deity and saving work.
Yeah, so, but Kirk Cameron's movie says that when you treat it in that scandalously secular way, you're actually supporting Christianity.
Well, that's right. Like hot cocoa and fat guys in suits are all part of honoring Christ.
So is this
right.
guy against capitalism?
This might be why Kirk Cameron got such a low score, is that even the Christians don't agree with him.
That right. must be it. The name of Christ is an offense to the unbelieving world. The mention of his birth or life or death and resurrection is an insult.
No, the name is not an offense. I don't care. Call him Stinky the Magic Hedgehog if you want. I don't care. The offense is telling us that we all deserve to be tortured forever unless we join up with your team.
Yeah, and saying that only members of your team should be involved in shaping public policy.
Right.
And only members of your team should be allowed to define the kinds of greetings that are considered acceptable
right.
at this
right.
time of year.
Right. That's the problem, Jackass. Okay.
The world, the flesh, and the devil all hate the mere mention of his glorious name.
Oh, God.
They're mortal enemies of the Savior.
The flesh?
Yeah, the flesh hates the mention of his name.
Okay.
And apparently the world hates the mention of his name, even though ostensibly, and I keep having to remind people, 80% of the United States identifies as Christians.
That's right.
You're not losing any ground right here.
And two-thirds of the world.
Yeah. One-third, I think.
What? I'm sorry. Yes.
Yeah, you got 1/3 Christians, 1/3 Muslims, a slightly smaller.
So when he says world, he's talking about the world. So there, they are outnumbered.
Okay.
By non-Christians.
Wow.
The devil animates it all. Knowing that his time to roam on earth is short and that he will one day be cast into the lake of fire, he opposes Christ at every turn. He and his demons will help gather all the nations into a great last-ditch rebellion against the King of Kings before he is defeated. Until then, right. However...
What do you say to that?
Goes on. Yeah.
Again, this would be so much more interesting if he actually put in some new material.
Yeah.
Like, did you know that Satan has got 5 orbital laser platforms? And he has formed an alliance with the people of Alpha Centauri, whose giant space fleet is coming to the Earth. But even those interstellar space fleets are not powerful enough to defeat our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Or something even as simple as, just last week, Satan finally got around to reading the Bible and realized, holy crap, I'm going to lose!
And now he's quaking in his pointy boots.
Now he has created a new giant freeze ray.
Or, in a more simple manner, wait, I can avoid this whole Armageddon thing, all of God's plan, simply by not creating the Antichrist. I'll just sit on my thumbs. There, I win.
Suck that, Jehovah. Yeah. I know.
The war on Christmas, the war on Christ, is doomed to fail. Christ came the first time to rescue us from our sin. He is coming a second time to establish his kingdom forever under his righteous reign.
Yes, and you just scream yourself every time thinking about all those people dying. Yes.
We have spent years trying to remind Christians that no, we don't hate your God. We don't hate your Jesus. We don't believe in them. No. You don't hate things you don't believe in. You know what else you don't do with things you don't believe in? You don't make war on them.
Right.
Right.
I'm not going to make war on Darth Vader because I don't believe he exists. Now, as opposed to you, I don't like Darth Vader. He's a bad guy. But still.
Yeah, in the story, he's a bad guy.
Yeah, in the story.
Actually, in the story, he's really a nice guy. He's just misguided.
Oh,
and at the end,
that's true.
And at the end, he gets redeemed by his boy taking his helmet off, and you see his little like, Pillsbury Doughboy head.
That's right.
Yeah.
I hope we didn't spoil anything for it.
Oh, God. Yeah, I mean, episode 7 is coming out soon.
That's
surely
right.
There's lots of people who haven't seen any of the movies that are just catching
up
now.
Oh, God, we just spoiled.
But at least those movies will have some new material in them.
Yes.
All right.
It's about time. Okay, so every believer from every age who has repented and trusted in him for the forgiveness of sin will be with him. The babe at Bethlehem will be the conquering king. So this Christmas, don't worry if you see the opposition building. Praise him that he came to Earth 2,000 years ago on a rescue mission, that he has rescued you. The end.
So he's against capitalism and making money. Okay.
Right.
It's the war on Christ.
I really
Christmas
want to go somewhere.
Is largely commercialization.
Yeah. Right. Marketing.
Yeah.
If he's against marketing, then
he's against capitalism.
Trying to not offend people who happen to not be Christians.
That's right.
But we can't have that. We have to offend people who are not Christians.
Yeah,
it's our religion.
No.
And if they're not objecting to being offended, then we can't say we're persecuted.
That's right. Sales are unimportant.
Yeah. So, Russell.
Yeah.
Last episode, I brought up the question of, can you remember any weird, goofy, wrong things you believed when you were a little kid?
Oh.
This was, and I had.
Actually, yeah.
I should
I
have
was
warned,
thinking about that when I listened.
Maybe I should have warned Dennis and Naomi because they completely failed to come up with anything good.
I've
but we got a bunch in email. Yeah? And also on Facebook, we got a bunch.
When I was in grade school, I found this book at the library that was like the witch's catalog or something like that. It was like a Sharper Image catalog, but full of like cool potions and spells and shit that you could buy.
And you fell for it.
Yeah, I mean, I was like, it was laid out like this real cool thing you could order stuff from, and I was like, oh, I'm gonna do so much great stuff with this. And I think I went to the trouble of like filling out some of the stuff, and then I looked out where to send it, and it was like, you know, go to a tree stump and put it there, and it was at that point that I was like, hey, wait a minute.
That's great.
This is awesome. Not specific enough. And that was not the only time I fell for something fictional. I used to be an avid reader of the Spider-Man newspaper comic, which is kind of lame. But, you know, I was like in first grade maybe at this point and living in Alabama. So there were some kind of overbearing teachers I did not care for. And there was this long drawn out comic strip plot about how Spider-Man was going to tell the story of how he got spider powers. And I was like, I'm totally going to do whatever it is he said.
So where'd you get a radioactive spider?
Well, I didn't know the story of Spider-Man at the time. But I was totally going to get back at my teachers. And I even warned some of them that this was coming.
As soon as
the newspaper comic would reveal what I had to do to get this.
When I get my spider powers, I'm going to burn this school down.
Well, I remember as a kid, I was impressed with Von Däniken's arguments.
Sure. And you're allowed to have gone through this kind of crap when you're a little kid. Little kids are not experienced in critical thinking and have not got a lot of established knowledge already in their heads.
Right.
And they can be confused by shit like this.
Which is why religion wants to get them early.
And the reason we got on this topic was, you know, what is it about grown humans who believe ridiculous religious things? They're still in that kind of place.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. This is from Corey in Arizona. I bet you didn't know we were going to read all your secrets about your foolish things you believed when you were a child, Corey. I believed that I could make a noise, perhaps a sustained squeak or muffled shout, that was just above the threshold of human hearing. I have no idea how this belief came about.
That's cool.
I also believed that I had some force-like power, but a very undeveloped one. It was apparently so undeveloped that it only worked on bowling balls already in motion, steering them ever so slightly.
Right. You do it with body English?
Yeah, that's what they call it. Luckily, I outgrew these ridiculous beliefs. Or were they just shitty superpowers? I don't think you grow out of shitty superpowers, though. If you had them.
You got them.
I think you'd have them. Don't you? Is that how that works? Superpowers work? You never read about some superheroes. Yes, well, and I used to be blah-de-blah man, but after a couple of decades, my powers wore off. So
Superman, now
I'm an accountant. He didn't grow out of his powers. He got cured of his powers by a special Kryptonian machine up there in the North Pole in his Fortress of Solitude.
That happened.
That's not the same thing, though. That's not growing out of them.
Never mind.
I don't like your war on Superman.
Marvel mutants, of course, grow into their superpowers. So there is that.
Right.
I suppose it could be possible to grow out of them. And I now consider myself a better skeptic and atheist for that experience. It terrifies me to imagine that some adults may hold similar logic and physics-defying beliefs while living, walking, and voting among us.
Voting among us, yes.
Agreed,
yes,
Corey.
It's
thank
terrifying.
You. Thank you very much for your letter, and thanks everybody for your letters. By the way,
did we get any other funny childhood gullibility stories?
That's the only one I brought.
Oh, that's too bad.
Voters that walk among us.
No, we got more, like I said, on Facebook. There's like a whole thread about it.
Yeah.
That would be the nonprofits group on Facebook.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Also, just your periodic reminder that if you run into any news that that you think should be covered on the nonprofits during during the 2 weeks in between our shows, the best way to submit them is to just go on Twitter and post something with the hashtag nonprofits news.
Right, and not to email it to us.
Because I don't read the freaking email.
Some people are still insisting on doing that, and I'm sorry, it's not my job to bring in news, and Russell doesn't read the email list for news. So.
Yeah, so hashtag nonprofits news. Check it out.
There you go. Just send the link to that. Russell?
Here's a story we like to keep a half an eye on from time to time because it's really long and drawn out.
Half of an eye.
Ow.
The Lost Ark Park.
Oh, yeah.
Now, the latest development is that Kentucky will not grant tax incentives to the Ark Encounter.
Thank goodness. Aww. It's only like people have been trying to remind the state of Kentucky. Kentucky?
Uh-huh.
You just say? Okay. That's in violation of the separation of church and state and their own damn laws ever since the first day that they agreed to do this.
Yeah, but they
finally got around to actually acting on it.
I mean, Ken Ham's group was getting away with this for a while, but they kind of overplayed their hand because they kept on reminding people that they had no intention of obeying anti-discrimination laws that real employers are subject to.
And wildly inflated their numbers.
So do we know how much damage this does to the whole project?
Yes, we do.
Okay, how much?
Kentucky's Tourism, Arts, and Heritage Cabinet Secretary Bob Stewart informed representatives of the proposed Ark Encounter tourist attraction that their project will not be eligible for up to $18 million in tax incentives from the state due to their refusal to pledge not to discriminate in hiring based on religion. Legalese. As you know, since the filing of the original incentive application in 2010, we have strongly supported this project, believing it would to be a tourist attraction based on biblical themes that would create significant jobs for the community, wrote Stewart in a letter to Ark Encounter's attorney. However, based on various postings in the Answers in Genesis and Ark Encounter websites, reports from Ark Encounter investor meetings, and our correspondence, it is readily available that the project has evolved from a tourist attraction to an extension of AIG's ministry. How fucking gullible are you people?
Really?
Yeah. Yeah,
it was always an extension of their ministry.
Never should have fallen for this in the first place.
Here's
clearly
an example of that accurate slippery slope again.
Uh-huh.
Clearly,
you're right.
There's been public pressure about this and bad press, and they have to act.
Good.
So it's good that they are acting. There's no reason they should have gone there in the first place.
How did they react is the real question here. On Monday.
With butt hurt.
No doubt. On Monday.
My butt hurts, signed Ken Ham.
Well, I mean, he's Australian. It would be like, me bum hurts.
Ow!
Right. My bum hurts. Hey!
On Monday, Ark Encounter's attorney sent a letter to tourism, flatly rejecting their demand to pledge in writing to not discriminate in hiring based on religion, saying they had every legal right to do so and still be eligible for state tax incentives.
Yeah, no.
Nope.
Okay. So it's in fact, their response was not to become butthurt, but to deny that there was any hurtin' possible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My butt is invulnerable. You can't hurt my butt.
You can't hurt my butt.
Yes. Just looking to
see if $18 million in tax incentives.
Does that
mean it's going to cost them $18 million more dollars to build the thing than it was going to?
Yeah.
And do we know what the total cost is projected to be? So we get some idea of just
enormous.
How big of a hit this is.
Yeah, this is great because I just Googled Ark Encounter to see what other details I could dig up.
Yeah.
And I found a bunch of butthurt from Charisma News. Ken Ham's Ark Encounter under government attack.
Oh, God.
Because they were going to give them a bunch of free money, and they decided not to.
Pew, 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 right. Pew, pew, pew.
Christian Post says, well, they just cover the story.
Right,
but I'm
right.
sure there is tons of butthurt in the body of the text.
You mean the body of the text?
The booty of the text.
Uh-huh. Oh, man.
Okay. But we don't know what the whole thing
no,
is.
No, but
offhand.
I mean, apparently Ken Ham just has a bunch of people getting their butts hurt on his behalf.
Right.
Okay. Well, we don't have a lot of time left.
Yeah.
I think we could probably do one more email or one more news. What do you want to do, Russell?
Go with the
Something.
Email.
Okay.
All right.
This is an easy one. I was wondering what your thoughts were regarding the long-term fate of religions. We get the same question periodically, but that means
yeah.
we all know what we want to say about this. So let me read the letter and then we can do our discussion. In general, there appears to be a downward trend. However, I am wondering if it will be a slow and painful death with fewer and fewer adherents bringing the curve asymptotically down to zero, or might there be a tipping point where few enough people associate with religions that they quickly evaporate? I've started looking into the statistics that I could find on reputable sites, but I don't see any predictions or projections for the future. Says Phil from Rugby, England, and he says, yep, the place where the father of your American football started.
Do any of us care about American
cool.
football?
No.
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 None of us care.
Okay.
Or rugby.
Yeah.
Big deal.
Sorry. So, yeah, I mean, this is actually a slight variation on the question. Usually it's, do you think eventually religion will go away? And he and Phil is saying, yeah, it looks like religion will eventually go away. He just wants to know what kind of a slope it's going to go down.
Right. Well,
and
historically, how's it been?
Historically, I have no idea.
I don't know.
Like when the Norse religion petered
right.
out, was
right.
that a slow process where just like every year, certain number of more Norse guys stopped worshiping the Norse gods
yeah,
and started worshiping
Jesus?
I don't
Jebus. Know how it went historically. I don't know.
Same thing
I think
with ancient
we are
Egypt
in no
and stuff.
Position to say where it's asymptotically going.
Yeah.
Okay. Actually, I mean, I've been watching the statistics over the last few years, and they're from what I've seen until maybe there's another great big poll. It doesn't look like there is a very fast or accelerating
right.
decrease in religion. It looks like it is if it's going away, it's going away slowly.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
now there could be a tipping point, right? Where
could be.
There's just not enough left to sustain it.
But we just don't know.
Right.
It is also fun to imagine that the kind of crazy thrashing that we see from religions these days is, you know, a last ditch circling of the wagons to try to keep from becoming irrelevant.
Yeah, we hope it doesn't get worse.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I guess, you know, for it to be a very, very, very rapid switch, I could have to imagine people like just waking up one morning saying, oh, you know what? Nobody else believes Christianity anymore. I think I'll just give it up.
Yeah, I can't see that happening.
That's not the kind of
behavior
that we see from Christians.
What happens like, you know, with scientific paradigm shifts
yeah.
is that
the old folks die off.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you got to wait for the old ones to die off because
you know,
they double down.
A new generation of kids, and there are plenty of indications that this group of kids is way less is way more secular and way more tolerant of things like the gays.
Keep my fingers crossed.
You know, they grow up, they just never particularly buy into the dogmas of their parents, and then their parents die.
Right.
That's how it works.
Yeah.
If it's going to happen, it's going to look like that.
That makes a certain amount of sense. You think we're going to see that in our lifetime?
Nah, not our lifetime.
No.
But, I mean,
why?
You know, give it a few generations.
Yeah.
But what are the different, the roughly the statistics on religious adherence among younger people?
I mean, they've still got a majority. It's going to take at least, you know, my grandkids' generation growing up.
You could still be alive during your grandkids' generation.
I could, but I said at least. And even then, at best, I'm, you know, I could expect to see maybe less than 50% of people being Christian specifically.
Right.
Uh-huh.
Certainly not like, you know, oh, well, it's almost eradicated.
Right. Be nice, but no.
But then I am a nonprofit, so take nothing I say as a certainty.
We do not pretend to predict the future.
But what about the Alpha Centauri space fleet?
That's definitely happening.
It's going to team up with Satan's orbital laser platforms.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
That could make a big difference, I'm thinking.
It could.
They have special targeting systems specifically to shoot people with their lasers that believe in Jesus.
I did manage to pull
up... Because a cross, one great thing that a cross is good for is it functions as kind of a crosshair.
Yes.
Yeah.
You were saying
that. I did manage to pull up one of the butthurt stories about
Okay. All right. Well, you can have our... We started a little late, right? So we can go a little
Yeah, we got a little longer.
Give yourself about three, 4 minutes.
Yeah, let's answers in Genesis CEO and President Ken Ham claimed that the new conditions set out by the state of Kentucky... are illegal.
Oh, God.
He also criticized media coverage that claimed his organization had asked Kentucky for money to build the project. The site's new conditions are clearly illegal. We can cite both federal and state laws that permit religious preference in hiring, like the 1964 Civil Rights Act. That's why atheist groups can and do discriminate in their hiring. What the fuck is he talking about?
I don't know.
Anyone?
I don't know. Does the ACA would the ACA be required to hire a Christian person that wanted to work for us?
We're a nonprofit.
Yeah. So that's one difference.
I don't know.
I'm not sure. I'm not aware of a for-profit atheist organization. What would that be?
Yeah.
I feel like they're. Are some, but atheists I don't know enough us. About the finance, the details.
Uh-huh. Huh.
I don't know about the finances of various atheist groups that I respect.
Right.
And yet you can certainly find rules that let religious organizations hire people that are part of their religion, but then you can't be getting special tax incentives on top of that. That's the point.
Yeah.
So he's saying, it's just confused.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's confused.
Not telling the whole story.
Yep.
I shouldn't say he's confused. He's probably not confused. He's conveniently, tactically only talking about the bits that support his case.
Yeah. Right. Answers in Genesis is a religious organization and has the legal right to hire people who believe in our Christian faith, Ham maintained. Yes, they are, and yes, they do.
And you can't have special tax incentives.
Right. Yep.
Because you're that.
Because then you're forcing people who are not part of your religion to pay your freaking...
Yeah.
He added that Kentucky's decision to impose hiring conditions on the project should be disconcerting for all religious organizations in the U.S. seeking to safeguard their rights.
Oh, good God.
Bum, bum, bum.
Freaking filthy liar.
They're right to get $18 million in write-offs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's not a right. That's not a right.
That's a privilege. You haven't done what it takes to enjoy that privilege.
Just goes to show, like we were saying before, that is why they should have kept, you know, the state should have kept their heads out of their asses in the first place
when
they
off.
Offered all these bennies to this religion.
You're better off, you know, applying the rules properly at the beginning rather than having to get be pressured to step back and putting the religious organization in the position of trying to throw egg on your face.
They made the mistake of giving them an inch.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Yeah.
And they all
right.
swam all over you.
Well, gentlemen, thank you for another fine show.
Yes.
Thank you, everyone, for listening. Thank you, Ben, in the control room. You want to say hi to everyone, Ben?
Hi, everyone.
That's the voice of Ben.
the voice
the
of
the disembodied
man.
Head.
Our illustrious engineer.
That's right.
Dennis, take us out.
I'll try. Well, that was our show. We hope you enjoyed it. We'll be back with another episode in 3 weeks on January the 7th. Until then, I am the Satellite by Brian Stieksma. Every day, so don't tell me life doesn't hurt, and that you